I was laughing because I said I debated whether I would say this, although Richard, of course, is the maestro, and he encouraged him and took his skills and talents. But I remember when we used to sing the Lord's Prayer, and I was out here sitting one day, and a Sunday, and we were singing, and I heard this big, booming voice singing the Lord's Prayer. And I just turned around and I said, "You need to be in the choir." I don't know if you remember that. You do. So I thank you for being a willing servant and listening and joining the choir and allowing Richard to just encourage you to bring your gifts out and to share them. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And much love, of course, to the trio. We just appreciate you guys. Thank you. And for Shirley, our wonderful guest musician. Thank you, Shirley. You know, it takes a village for us to have a wonderful experience. Everybody is invited to the party. And so I want to take this time for us to just set the tone for the consciousness and the energy so that we can all feel blessed. And I want us to be able to affirm our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. together. And if my wonderful AV team members, and let's give them some love, too. They're out there in the back. But let's read this together. Unity of Washington, D.C. is a prosperous and dynamic center of love, peace, joy, and truth. We are mighty to attract an abundance of good and to radiate that good to others. All of our needs are met in full and on time, with enough to share and to spare. We are overflowing with positive, prayerful, and loving people committed to the principles of truth. We all serve for the glory of God, and so it is. Amen and amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much, beloved ones. How's everyone doing today, this beautiful spring day? Yes. Even though my mom spoiled that, she said it's supposed to be raining and snowing and some other kind of stuff the rest of the week. But you know what? I'm learning to live in the moment. Today is a beautiful day. It is a beautiful day. So I pray everybody is doing well this morning. And you know, I feel that my work as a spiritual teacher, a spiritual leader, a fellow light bearer, a truth finder. I used to be a truth seeker, but I'm a truth finder these days. But a truth finder. I know that somehow or another the work that I'm doing is so vitally important. It's more important than ever before. And I know that you know as well the same truth, that we are in the midst, of course, and bearing witness. We're bearing witness to a great transformative time on the planet. We are witnesses of that. We're seeing that happening on the planet. And I say not just the world, but the planet, because the planet is undergoing great transformation as well. So we're here to witness all of that. And I know that this could be an exciting time when we think that everything is unfolding and growing in divine and most perfect order. And that we know that there's stuff happening underneath the surface. That there is stuff happening on a spiritual plane that is beyond what we are, seeing with our outer eyes and experiencing. And we all know that somehow or another there's that infinite good that is unfolding and bringing us to a new place and a different expression and experience of life itself, whether in our own individual lives or the collective life that we are experiencing on this planet. And even though it's exciting, I know that it can still feel awful. You know, something can be exciting and still feel like terrible at the same time. And it could be for some people quite terrifying, and it's maybe even unsettling. I know it's in divine order, but that doesn't mean that it's still not unsettling. There are certain things that are just, I have to keep shaking them off and shaking it off, you know, because it's something that is disturbing my peace of mind until I hear my minister and teacher, Eric Butterworth, say that if you're disturbed, it's because you're disturbable. So while I'm trying to get to the place where I'm not disturbable, I also know that in my humanness, my humanity, I have to traverse all of the ups and downs and the feelings and the ins and outs that are taking place. And many people may actually even be feeling a little fearful about the future. What is the future going to look like? What does it hold for all of us? How is all of this going to, you know, pan out and take place? Maybe they're concerned about all of the changes, that change and a sense of loss is afoot, even though change is always afoot. Change is always happening. But somehow the change that is taking place seems to be a little bit more abundant. And it's happening at a greater speed. It's quicker, so that we don't have as much recovery time before a new change is coming. Something else is coming, something else. And so it can feel a little overwhelming with the amount, the speed at which things are changing, and the velocity and the amount of change that is happening. And so how are we adjusting? For me, I've had to, readjust what's happening in my own being, so that I'm not flying off on the deep end, but that I'm able to continue to balance myself. And so I've tried to manage, how much news and stuff I look at. I don't look at regular news stations because I've given up on them, but I do follow sometimes. There are certain channels and platforms that I follow that give political discourse because I do want to keep abreast of. I don't want to walk around with my head in the sand. But I have kind of stopped giving all of my attention to things like all of the many executive orders that are coming out of the White House. I just don't pay those things any mind or attention at this point. Or all of the laws and the policies that seem to have been stripped away. You know, when I hear it, I just go, oh, my gosh, you know, you're talking about segregation. What is what? This is crazy making, but I have to just put that aside and all of the new laws. So we've got laws and policies that are being stripped away, taken down, and new laws and new policies are being put in place. And I've said, I can't keep up with all of that. And that is not good for me to do so because it's too anxiety producing. It's too stress building. It's too fear overshadowing my entire being. And it has a negative effect on my sense of well-being. And right now, I'm into a sense of well-being. I've got a lot going on in my life, and I want it to be about what? Well-being. So this is really important. And I share, each Sunday I said, I don't know if I should share these things and feelings, but I share this approach and these thoughts and this truth idea Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because I think it's important for us so that we all maintain our sense of well-being. So that even though stuff is happening, and I want to not stick my head in it, I want to address that because if I'm feeling it, you all are feeling it too. All right? But I want us to have a sense of well-being by understanding the truth that will what? Set us free. The truth that uplifts us. The truth that enables us to move through any and every experience that we may be having. And I was thinking of the statement that I often make, and I say, everything is not good, but there is what? Good in everything. I'm so glad that you all know that. I said, well, I say it often enough, but that's what I feel. Everything ain't good, but there is good in everything. So the point is, how can we see and experience the good that we know is there in the midst of everything that is happening today? How can we take things like fear and anxiety and turn them into fodder for our soul's growth and unfoldment? You know, how can we use those things so that they become a benefit for us, not a distraction or a detraction from who we are? How can we use them? Even things like fear and anxiety. because we may experience those. And I wanted to focus a little bit on the concept of fear this morning, because that's the topic that Spirit gave me. I always ask, what should I speak? And that's the topic that Spirit gave me. So I'm going to do that. But also because I believe that that is something that we all experience. Everybody experiences from time to time some level of fear, whether it is fear taking place in your personal life and affairs that may take place, or fear on the collective, you know, in our societal expression, we might be experiencing some level of fear. We're no stranger to fear. It's part of the human condition. It's part of our makeup. It has positive, you know, qualities and limiting qualities. And some people, what could be positive? Well, back in the dinosaur days, fear was very good. It was very positive to have. Right? You needed that to tell you danger, danger, you know. So there's some things that are positive, and yet how can we use it so that it doesn't become a negative and hold us back? So if it's part of the human condition, there must be a spiritual solution for it. Because this is what I know. For every aspect of our human condition, there is a spiritual solution. Now, that's something we have to remember. For every human condition that we might experience, there is, without a doubt, a spiritual solution. Now, sometimes I have to figure out, what is my spiritual solution for this particular situation? It might be a stretch, but that's okay. Knowing that there is one is very helpful. Now, we all may have heard the acronym used for fear, F-E-A-R. And everyone, I'm sure, has heard, you know, that fear is what? False evidence appearing real. It's, you know, we've heard that one. But then there's some other ones, some new ones that I've come across, and some I've even made up. But one is, fear could be forget everything and run. It could be that, because sometimes we need that, right? Or for the times where it could be fight everything and resist. We could use that one, right? When that fear comes up. Or it could be flee everything and retreat. Could be that. Or it could be feel everything and react. Because spirit certainly engenders a reactionary state sometimes in us, right? Should I move, stay, go, whatever? And so, you know, there's lots of things we can have fun and think of your own, but I had some other ones, but I thought, well, those feel, you know, appropriate for me at this point. I want to start back with the familiar one that we all have, false evidence appearing real. And it may be one that is overused, but it still holds water. Because most of the things that have appeared in our lives, right? They have appeared in our lives would have us thinking and believing that they are real. Because we see it. We may feel it or, you know, with our senses, and it can certainly appear real. It can feel real. We have evidence. Because, you know, we like evidence that this is, you know, this has happened and we can see it. And it's so because we see it and it's evident, we say, oh, it's true. Right. And so we get hung up on that. It could be a sickness. You know, somebody has a cold. Oh, this cold is real. This thing is real. See, I'm blowing my nose. It's real. It's real. Could be a lack of money. No. Abundance is real. But so is my empty pocketbook. It's real. It's real. Right. Because I see it, there's nothing in it. It's real. It could be a sense of loss. This, I don't have this anymore. This person is gone. The situation, it's real. My life is filled with emptiness and loneliness. And see, nothing is around me. War, unrest, all of these things can be seen and experienced as real. And yet, what if I tell you that there's another way to see even all of those things? Another way that transcends all of those things, even though they have appeared in our lives, even though they have shown up, Because everything that shows up is not necessarily real with a big capital R. It's not reality. And so just because something has appeared doesn't mean that it has to be your reality. Jesus, the master teacher, way shower, right? The son of the living God, he gave us a new thought for us to interact with, to instruct us. He said in John 7, verse 24, judge not by appearances, but by righteous judgment. He's given us a hint. Look, don't get caught up in everything that has appeared in your life. Judge not by appearances, but by righteous judgment. And we might think, well, now what is righteous judgment? Well, in New Thought and Truth, we say righteousness is right use of judgment. So you have to have a right use or a correct way in which to view and experience what is happening. To righteous judgment might be approaching things from a spiritual perspective so that you begin to see what's underneath. You begin to see what's behind things. You don't automatically go for it showed up and therefore this is real. No. Get underneath. See what is not seen. What's the definition of faith? It's the evidence of things unseen. But we are so addicted to the visual outer reality of things being real. But there's a spiritual realm, friends. Just like there's a physical realm, an emotional realm, a mental realm, there is a spiritual realm that supersedes everything. And what has appeared can also disappear. And what is unseen can become seen, right? You can call a thing as though it was, and boom, there it is. Jesus was able to feed the multitudes from what was, it wasn't seen. What was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish or 5 fish and 2 loaves? I never know which one it is. But it's 5 and 2, some loaves and fish. And not enough to feed 5,000 people. And that's not even included, because they didn't include the women and the children. Out of that thing, he could see what was not seen. By all appearances, that was an impossibility, right? But because he could peer into the spiritual realm, into the realm of infinite abundance, into the source of everything good, that is so, you know, beyond the limited view of once something comes into the manifest real, it's limited. And so he could tap into the invisible, the unseen, and bring forth an infinite amount of what was needed to become real. We call those miracles, but not really. It's just a higher working and understanding of the law. So, you know, we're going to look at another way. Judge not by appearances, but by righteous judgment, seeing rightly, not trying to set everything. My teacher, Eric Butterworth, used to say, stop trying to set everything right and start seeing it rightly. Amen. We got to start practicing seeing it rightly. That's righteous judgment. So we're not going to get caught up into what has appeared, but we're always going to first see if we can go to the underbelly of what has shown up, you know, to go underneath, to the spiritual side of things. So that should be our first piece. What is the spiritual side of this thing that has shown up? So when you notice that you might be experiencing or that you're caught up and you're in the grips of fear, you can ask yourself, what is the spiritual side of this situation that I can lay hold of? Because fear can take over and it gets up to the brain, clogs the brain, so we're not thinking clearly. You know, solutions might not even come because we're all into the what ifs and the oh my's and the ooh, ooh, right? And it shuts off any type of intuition. So ask yourself, okay, I've got fear coming up, but what's the spiritual side of this situation that I'm in, this pickle that I'm in, this circumstance that has showed up? What's the spiritual side that I could lay hold of and begin to hold in my consciousness? What is it? What spiritual thought that is a positive thought, or what is an upbeat truth that I can experience and that I can believe in right now instead of this evidence that has appeared? Can I let go of the evidence that has appeared? And can I lay hold of that which has not appeared and begin to focus on that? So we're here to keep looking beyond what we see to that which is unseen, and then to hold on to that until it becomes seen. So when you're caught up in the into fear, you can think about all the fearful things that this experience can produce, but put that aside and say, well, what else can I hold on to that I can believe in, that I can live? What truth, what positive thought, what upbeat, what vision, what new vision can I hold on to until it becomes seen, or until I calm down, or until my egoic mind is at peace and begins to rest so something new can come forth? So, false evidence appearing real. We're going to let go of the appearances and go right to the substance of what it is we desire. Another acronym that I like is FEAL, F-E-A-R, feel everything and rise. Feel everything and rise. Because fear is a very strong emotion. You know, when you're in the grips and somebody says, well, don't feel that way, well, that's not helpful. Because fear, it is an energy that arises within the body. Yes, it may be caused by the mind of how we're thinking about things, but it produces a very visceral and real feeling, right? And so for some to say, don't be afraid. No, you feel it. Feel everything and rise. And because of that strong emotion, that energy, that feeling is going to go. So it not only does it reside someplace in your physical body, but if it's not addressed, if it's not felt deeply, it's going to store and sneak away, store in some parts of your cells or whatever, and show itself maybe at an inappropriate time. It'll show itself maybe as a sickness or a disease or whatever, because it's stored energy. And so spiritually, we want to be able to feel what we feel. The key is not to get so hung up in the feelings, right? You feel them, but you don't allow them to rule your life and saying, because I feel this, then I can't do anything. No, feel it. But then you must rise. So feel everything and rise. You have to then move beyond that feeling. So I say you take that feeling and then you can direct the energy that is behind it. Because fear produces a big energy in body. But I can direct that energy. I don't have to just let the energy stay stored in my body. I want to direct it someplace positively, right? I want to feel it. I want to acknowledge it. I want to name it. But don't stop there. I also want to direct it into some higher form or a higher direction or a higher place. So that, again, I recognize I have the ability to have some control, even though the emotions come. Sometimes you don't have, they come. Remember, I said sometimes thoughts come. We can't control everything. Where'd that come from? I don't know. It just popped up in there. So your feelings come too. So we feel them now that it's here. I've got anger. I've got fear. I've got whatever it is. How can I direct this energy? And I want to feel everything, but I also want to rise, right? So I want to direct the energy toward a greater truth. I want to direct it so that my consciousness is lifted up. I want to take the energy and I want to raise my consciousness around that fear thought, that fear feeling. So feel it, feel everything, and rise. Raise that consciousness. Find the truth. Find something that can direct that. And you might have to begin by, you know, telling yourself a higher truth. Even though you're feeling something, it's a lower vibration, but tell yourself a higher truth. Right? When you're caught up in a lower vibration, you tell a higher truth. You can begin there. So, you know, based on a spiritual principle, a spiritual teaching, some kind of spiritual belief, or something, a visualization of what you do want to desire. So you feel it. Feel the fear, because it may show up. It's there. Don't go into denial like, nope, not here. Feel it, and then take it to a higher level. Right?
feel everything, and rise. That's a new way to handle fear. Another one that I like is F-E-A-R. Feel excitement and readiness. Feel excitement and readiness. Because sometimes when we are in the grip of fear, we can experience the fight or the fight, flight, or freeze syndrome, right? The fear, I'm either going to try to fight through it, or maybe I'm going to take flight from it, or I'm going to freeze and do nothing. So that means we want to turn that fear into something that's not necessarily, you know, fighting and flying and running, but to feel some kind of excitement. Because if it's something that I'm fearful about, whether it's an unknown or something I've never done before, if I can engender a feeling of excitement and a sense of readiness, right, to be ready to face whatever is before me, as opposed to running away from it or denying it or fleeing from it or whatever, because all those things, the more you run, the more it's like chasing you, right? So you might, the boogeyman is always there until you stop and you turn around and you're like, what? Right? Head on, what you want? And usually the boogeyman will flee and go on away because you've seen it, right? You faced it. So if fear is gripping you, try to see if you can turn the thing that you are frightened of into some level of excitement and readiness. Readiness, ready to meet and overcome whatever is before. You got to get ready to face it, right? Ready to deal with it, ready to embrace what is ours to embrace. Not running or whatever, because that doesn't work. So you want to feel excitement about it. Well, okay, I'm fearful of the unknown, but this is an adventure. Let me see if I can be excited, right? If I can engender and feel excitement and then readiness. I don't know what steps to take, but I'm ready. I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I'm ready. So we get into this, you know, this place where we have the ability to meet and to overcome whatever is there by facing it. So it doesn't have to, fear doesn't have to shift us into that, you know, fight, flight, or freeze position. It can actually be used to move us into an active state of readiness. Because when you're fearful, everything is heightened. You're ready. You're either going to be ready to do whatever, but I'm ready for excitement, for this adventure, for this newness, for this unknown. You know, befriend the unknown. I'm ready for this. Okay, I'm up to the task, right? So you want to feel excited and ready. I'm excited and I'm ready. And what helps us get there is this other an acronym that I love, which is to feel everything and remember. Let me feel everything because the fear is there, but I am also going to remember. I'm going to remember the truth. I'm going to remember the power of God. I'm going to remember who I am. I'm going to remember the things that I know will work and serve me well. I'm going to feel everything and remember. Remember who I am and the gifts that I've been given. 2 Timothy verse 1 through 7 says this: For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Doesn't mean we're not going to experience it, but we weren't given a spirit of fear, right? And timidity, meaning we need to be bold, brave, courageous, and that's what this is going to take for us, right? And it says, but he's given us the spirit of power, love, and self-control or self-discipline. So, excuse me, I have to drink some water, keep this throat lubricated. So we haven't been given this spirit. That doesn't mean we won't feel it, but we haven't been given a spirit of fear. But boldness. And I just tell myself, be a boss, Sylvia, be a boss. You know, handle this like a boss. Feel that you're, you know, that you can do this. Use your fear to overcome. Use your fear as a spiritual power to move you where you want to be, not being stuck, but to move you, to face everything and rise, whatever it is that, you know, we're working with. So I'm looking at these three qualities that we've been given, not of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. So power, you know, God has given us this sense of power. And when we're feeling fear, sometimes we feel what? Powerless. We feel that we can't do anything. We don't have any control about what's happening. And so we move into a state of powerlessness. But God has given us a spirit of power, meaning that the power of God is not only with us in all ways and in all things, but that spirit, that power of God is what within us. We forget to access it, right? God's power to do all things is always available with us and within us. There's the omnipotence of the divine, the omnipotence of God. And what is omnipotence? All power. Not only is it all power, but it's also omnipresent, which is everywhere. That power that is everything is everywhere. And it is omniscient, which is what? All-knowing. So everything, there's nothing new under the sun. So your situation and your circumstance is already known by the omniscient presence of the divine. And that power to handle it is available to you. And he goes, but we forget to ask. We forget to recognize, oh, yes, God is work. Jesus said, I work and my Father works. But we think that we got to do it all on our own. I've got to figure this. This is what causes us to feel powerless and tired. I got to do this all on my own. I got to figure this out all by myself, right? And so therefore, I'm in control of the universe. I'm the assistant manager. I got to work it all out. I got to do it all. No, you don't. You just have to remember that there's a living power and presence and knowingness within you that has everything under control. And that as you begin to say, you know what? Let me exercise my power by turning myself over to the higher power that is God, that is within me, right? So I'm not powerless, and I'm not going to give my power away. I'm not going to succumb to the fear as a powerless thing, but I'm going to address everything with the power of God, through the power of God. And my power comes from turning towards God. That's where my power lies. Not in me trying to do it all by myself, figure it all out. My power comes when I turn. The moment I turn myself, come on, God. Boom, there's that power at work. So we've got to recognize that we have that. And then it said that we were given the spirit of love. Now, we all know the qualities. Love is a healing quality. It's a healing principle. It's a healing factor. Love is powerful. It can turn even the hardest heart around, right? It can heal any condition, any circumstance. And so love, you know, we forget to use that also as a power. So when I have some fear, let me see if I can transpose this fear into love. I learned a long time ago that sometimes you can't leave a thing until you love it. And we try to run away from stuff, but you can't leave it until you love it. Now, does that mean am I supposed to love this negative thing? No, but if you resist it and you fight against it and you wish it wasn't there and you struggle with that, guess what? You are stuck right there, fighting, resisting it, doing all that. You're right there. You can be love it, not the thing. It's you're not loving like, oh, I love for this to happen to me. But you offer love toward every condition, every circumstance. I offer love because love can heal. Love can transform. So let me offer this situation, this person, this individual, right? This love my enemy, this the people and things that I just want to push away. Let me see if I can offer love towards that. That's the greater power. That's a transformative energy that will free me. And so I have been given this spirit of love to be able to heal and to love. The scripture says that perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love. So again, it's not my love. It's divine love. It's God. So when I access this power and presence of God, that will do the work. It is God's love. So if I can see myself as a vessel through which this divine love, this perfect love, the perfect love casts out fear. It is, if I leave it only up to me, well, that fear might not go anywhere because I might not be willing or, you know, I just too much stuff and too much head, ego, all that stuff. No, no, no. Perfect love, divine love casts out fear. So let me not try to, you know, do it all on my own again. Let me see if I can tap into love. If there's something and I have fear happening, I have hurt, resistance, resentment, whatever. Let me see if, again, if I can bring that energy of love into my being. And the energy of love will do its perfect work. Love does its perfect work. My work is to be a vessel through which divine love can flow. It is not for me to fix this person, fix this situation, because again, I'm trying to set it right as opposed to what? Seeing it rightly. And when I allow the love energy to flow through me, I'm a vessel. Okay, I don't have to do it, but the spirit of the loving spirit of God can do all things. Let me tap into love, not just for this, not for this or for that, but for love itself. Let me become that vessel, that vehicle, that expression of love to then go forth and do its work. That's the spirit that I've been given. And then the last one is of a sound mind. It says a sound mind, self-discipline, self-control. And Lord knows we need a sound mind, because my mind sometimes, you know, is all over the place. And if I'm coming from egoic mind, which we all do from time to time, and it's not that the egoic mind is bad, but its job is to defend us at any cost. And so we get into a defensive mode, we get into a fighting mode, we get into a resisting mode, right? But if I could allow myself to access the divine mind, the sound mind, which is a mind that is attuned to the wisdom of the divine, to the light of God, which light is wisdom, right? If I could let the light of God, again, permeate my being, then I might have access to wisdom and guidance and the right answer and the right direction without me trying to figure it all out. It comes. Go here, do this. Step forward, let that go, address that. You know, it just is present. And so we have a sound mind when we let the light and the wisdom of God move and take over our being. Then we don't have to struggle and work so hard. That thing that we're fearful of, there might be a solution you never thought about. But when you are of a sound mind, open to the wisdom, the higher mind, the wisdom of God, then everything that's needed comes for you to then do, to feel excited and a sense of readiness, you know, to be able to do what is yours to do, to feel whatever you need to feel and rise above. All of these things come when we recognize that we have everything within us that we need. That's our work. That's our path and our direction that we are to take. So these are some interesting times, but we are equipped and empowered from on high to handle them. We just have to remember to keep doing the things that feed our spirit, that strengthen our resolve, that build us up. And we might have to do it over and over and over again. We leave here, we're feeling good, and you might go out there, and the next thing you know, you hit smack in the face with some other kind of crazy. And you got to start and do it, what, all over again. Do the process again. Keep working the truth that you know. As Johnny Coleman used to say, works if you work it. This is our work to do. And this is our time to continue to, you know, rise above, to let what's happening unfold, and in the meantime, to keep ourselves buoyed up, shored up, strengthened, surrounded, coming to church,
being around like-minded people, feeling the energy from one another, just being in each other's presence is helping us, right? Because I might feel down, but if I'm in the presence of a strong soul who can, you know, I feel their vibes, it's like, oh, okay, things are okay. Or I might be down or whatever. Maybe Reverend Cheryl might give me a word that, oof, I needed that. Or maybe I'm the one giving something to somebody else. We have to, this is it. This is a collective consciousness community. We need each other. And so whether we're here or whether we're even online, do your thing. You're a part of this experience, expression, because energy knows no boundaries. So even though I would love to have you here, I'm grateful that you are still present online, joining us and adding your consciousness as well. You know? Because your consciousness is also adding to the mix. It is also growing the vibration. And everything that we do has a positive effect on the world. Does a flapping of the butterfly wings in the Amazon have an effect of us here? And the answer is what? Yes. Yes. So thank you for sharing your love and your light. But I also thank you for, sometimes I need God with the skin on it. So I thank you also for being here and being present. Blessings, blessings, blessings to each of you.